This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. The National Weather Service says about one quarter of the U.S. South is in the midst of an exceptional drought. There are fears that much of the drinking water in Atlanta, Georgia, will be gone in 4 months. A lack of rain certainly isn't helping the situation, but some say there are other parties to blame. Susanna Capoludo reports from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
In an area dealing with the worst drought since 1892, Atlanta Mayor Shirley Franklin leads by example.
I have been using my shower water to water just the three plants that I'm trying to save in my front yard.
Her yard isn't the only one. All across Atlanta, what used to be lush green landscape lawns are now withering and turning brown. In North Georgia, all outdoor watering has been banned. Mayor Franklin says Lake Lanier, the reservoir where Metro Atlanta gets most of its drinking water, could last less than 4 months.
Please, please, please do not use water unnecessarily. This is not a test. This is a case where we have a water shortage.
Other southern states, including North Carolina, Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, have voluntary or mandatory watering bans. Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue declared October as take a shorter shower months.
Just every little bit helps, so everybody doing their part, even in your apartment, makes a difference.
At the Cobb County Fair, Kathy Wynn with Cobb Waterworks hands out low-flow shower heads. It didn't take long to get rid of all 800.
We probably could have given out another 200.
Wynn also enforces the county's outdoor watering ban. Nosy neighbors and concerned citizens flood her office with 600 complaints every day. Violators include residents and businesses willing to pay a $500 fine.
I think some people just consider it the cost of doing business. They want that green yard, and so they'll pay. They'll risk that they'll get away with it more than we'll fine them.
The outdoor watering ban has helped Cobb County cut its water use by 60%. But Commission Chairman Sim Olin says that savings doesn't help people living in Metro Atlanta.
We're doing our part. But Alabama and Florida are taking no actions to conserve water.
In Alabama, water districts set their own restrictions, but many are still voluntary. Georgia officials blame the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the lack of water. The Corps is required to pump water downstream out of Lake Lanier to power plants in Alabama and to protect endangered species in Florida's Apalachicola Bay. Georgia's congressional leaders have introduced legislation that would lift federal protection for endangered species in times of severe drought. Commission Chair Olin says the U.S. government should put drinking water ahead of animals and electricity.
Am I supposed to expect FEMA to come here the beginning of 08 and provide daily drinking water for 5 million Georgians? That doesn't give me comfort.
But environmentalists say there is more blame to spread around. Sally Bethay is with the group Upper Chattahoochee River Keeper.
The real problem is rampant growth and the way we have grown and the fact that we've not really done anything when we've had wake-up call droughts in the past. We have gone back to sleep.
In fact, Metro Atlanta has added 600,000 residents since the last drought 7 years ago. And there is fear southern economies could slow considerably. Landscapers and car washers have been affected, but it's the farmers who have taken the biggest hit. Corn and soybeans have suffered the most. In Tennessee, state agriculture spokesman Tom Womack says cattle farmers are paying more to feed the animals.
We're 80% down on hay stocks across Tennessee, and it's just unlikely that hay fields and pastures will recover at this point.
And the long-term outlook isn't any better. Government forecasters expect drier-than-average conditions across the Southeast for several more months. For NPR News, I'm Susanna Capoluto in Atlanta.
It's not only dry in the Southeast, the West is hurting too. In fact, here in Los Angeles, we can't even remember the last time we had a really good rainy season. Last winter, we got all of 3 inches of rain. Joining me now is Jeffrey Keitlinger. He's general manager of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. And Mr. Keitlinger, you actually buy water, as I understand it, from other places to supply Southern California. Are those sources drying up?
Yes, they are, Madeline. We get water from a number of sources, and we import it to Southern California. We get water all the way from the Colorado River in the east, as well as from Northern California, and we move that through the State Water Project down here to Southern California.
So the drought elsewhere is affecting us here, even though we're also experiencing a drought.
Yes. Southern California imports about half its water, and Right now, the entire Southwest has been gripped by a drought, and the Colorado River is extremely dry, and we've lost about half our supply that we normally get from the Colorado River.
Half?
Roughly half from the Colorado River, and we've also lost a significant supply also from Northern California, so that's made it triple whammy, we call it, with the dry conditions we have locally as well.
Well, how dire is it? Because just going about my daily life, it doesn't seem that people are feeling the effects.
Well, it's not an immediate concern. It's a long-term concern. We've invested very heavily in a number of ways to make our area in Southern California more drought-tolerant, drought-resistant. We've invested heavily in storage, conservation, recycling, reclamation. But if these dry conditions continue, eventually we're going to have to take more drastic measures.
And what would that include?
That would include forms of rationing. You know, like we saw in the early 1990s, we had very dry times there. We hadn't invested as heavily locally in our storage and our recycling and our conservation. In fact, if we hadn't have done all those investments from the early 1990s, we'd have been in rationing probably 5 years ago.
And by rationing, you're saying that people wouldn't have access to water at certain times of the day?
That sort of thing. Typically, each city decides it differently. We're this regional wholesaler, and the cities then set up the rationing. What we do is we tell them there isn't enough water for the cities, and some cities then ration water by times of day. Others say no outdoor use, and so different measures in different places.
And you haven't gotten to that point yet where you're telling cities, you know, we're in trouble and we need you to start rationing.
Well, we've been telling people we're in trouble and going for voluntary conservation and asking people to cut back locally because we aren't in dire straits yet. But the long-term trends are very difficult, and they recently got compounded by a lawsuit up in Northern California that's going to restrict our supplies to protect endangered species fish as well.
The smelt.
Correct, the Delta smelt.
The Delta smelt. Let's talk about the Colorado River, because I read somewhere that next year, if things don't improve, that source could dry up for Southern California.
Southern California would probably still be getting its supplies from the Colorado River, but if it continues this trend, for the first time ever, we'll actually be in shortage allocations, we call it, where we'll have to deliver less water to the states. The first state to take a shortage would be Arizona, and then Nevada, and then eventually California.
Why not tell people right now, enough voluntary, you have to conserve, and this is what you have to do?
Well, we tried to work our way through this systematically. We first asked for voluntary conservation. We then stopped replenishing our groundwater basins. We started that in May of this year. The next step is we start cutting supplies to agriculture in Southern California. People forget in this urban area we live, we actually deliver a fair amount of water for agriculture, including avocados and strawberries and flowers. We have informed our local farmers that they can expect a 30% cut effective January 1. The next step after that is rationing. So right now we're just trying to inform people, get people to save water, and then we'll start on that rationing program sometime next year.
Mr. Keitlinger, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Jeffrey Keitlinger. He's the general manager of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. ¶¶